Good to be with you. And we're going to be going through the entire psalm in our studies, Psalm 23, this week, all through it, a little bit every night. That's going to get us through. So I'm going to start today with the phrase, two phrases. I'm going to explain these phrases and expound these phrases. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So we're going to center on that today as we preach. Let's pray again. Father, guide us as we meditate and think upon these tremendous words, God's words given to us. May our lives be impacted even today, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think I can say this morning that Psalm 23 is probably the most well-known psalm and the well-known portion of Scripture, except maybe John 3:16. Those two, one's a long one, several verses, the other's short, just one verse. But do we realize that this first phrase is really the secret and the foundation of all the rest of the psalm? Let me show you what I mean. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore he maketh me lie down in green pastures. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore he leadeth me beside the still waters. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore he restoreth my soul. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The Lord is my shepherd, and therefore, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thou art with me. Now the Lord is my shepherd, therefore thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And the Lord is my shepherd, therefore thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And the Lord is my shepherd, therefore thou anointest my head with oil. And the Lord is my shepherd, therefore my cup runneth over. Therefore the Lord is my shepherd, therefore surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Therefore, all of these statements are true because the Lord is my shepherd. That is the foundation of this psalm. And the other phrases that come out of it will give us an understanding of the fact of the areas where the Lord is our shepherd. I want to cover this whole psalm this week. We'll take several of these 12 statements per night, per morning. This morning we're taking two. So let me begin to speak to you about the fact that the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want. Our first phrase is of the Lord himself, and we learn several things about our Lord who is our shepherd. Our passage speaks of a definite person, the Lord. The Lord. He is the self-existent God. No one created him. He is the eternal God. He has created all things, but he himself is uncreated. He is the unchanging God. He never changes in any manner. He is the covenant-keeping God. He always keeps his words of promise. He is the sovereign God over all things. He has the supreme power over everything. He is the ineffable God. He is the one who is great, too great. We can't even describe him. And he is the unutterable God. We only know a few things about him. So there it is, the Lord. That's the one that we're talking about here. You put it all together. And we could even say it this way, the eternal, self-existent, all-powerful, indescribable, covenant-keeping, unchangeable, sovereign God, whose name is too great to speak. He is my shepherd. Which is to say that also, the eternal, self-existent, all-powerful, indescribable, covenant-keeping, unchanging, sovereign God whose name is too great to speak, that one is my shepherd. The eternal God is my shepherd. The self-existent God is my shepherd. The almighty God and powerful God is my shepherd. The covenant-keeping God is my shepherd. The sovereign God is my shepherd. The one whose name is unspeakable is my shepherd. What a great God we have. What a great Lord we have. Charles Spurgeon said, I would insist you either believe God up to the hilt or don't believe God at all. Put your faith in the truth and your life will be changed forever, even as a Christian. The Lord, The Lord is a definite person, and he is our shepherd. But there's something else, another point in this phrase. Our passage also speaks of a definite identification. We've seen a definite person, but there's a definite identification. Who is that person? The Lord is my shepherd. Not just any old person, but he, the Lord, is my shepherd. He is the one and only God of all things. How different it is from Satan, this our Savior. Satan is the great liar. Satan is the great deceiver. Satan is the great chief of sin. But the Lord, the one and only Lord, is our helper and our shepherd. Therefore, there should not be any questions as to whom men should be living for and what men should be doing with their lives. The Lord is the one that we're to worship. Not just any person that claims to be Lord, but the Lord. A.W. Tozer said that people who are crucified with Christ and are submitted to the Lord have two distinct marks. They are facing only in one direction, towards the Lord. And they will never turn back and away from the Lord because he is the Lord. Our third understanding in this little phrase, the Lord is my shepherd. John 10:11, he's seen as the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. John 10:14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known of mine. And other sheep I have, John 10:16. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. And so shepherd all through. He is that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, Hebrews 13:10. And 1 Peter 2:25, for you were as sheep astray, going astray, but now you've returned unto the shepherd, the bishop of our souls. 1 Peter 5:4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory. Summary is, thus Christ is the great shepherd through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And our passage also says, the Lord is my shepherd. All of these words have some meaning to them. There's no verb in the original language, in the Hebrew, but it's proper to put a verb in there. The Lord is my shepherd. It is not saying, well, maybe he's my shepherd. It's not saying, the Lord, I hope he is my shepherd, or maybe the Lord is. But what it says is, the Lord is my shepherd. Not maybe, not I hope so, not I think so, but the Lord is my shepherd. That means that we do not have a maybe so, or a think so, or a hope so salvation. But ours is a fact, the Lord is my shepherd. Someone has written, what wonderful blessings overflow when we can say, I know. I know in whom I have believed. I know the one I have received. I know his blood avails for me. I know that I was blind, but now I see. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know the gift he freely gives. I know he'll keep me to the end. I know he is my faithful friend. I know he's coming in the sky. I know that time is drawing nigh. And that's all true because the Lord is my shepherd. So our passage speaks of a definite possession. The Lord is my shepherd. That's the point we'll speak for a few minutes. Not my mama's shepherd, that's good. Not just my daddy's shepherd, that's good. Not just my brother's shepherd, that's good. Not just my sister's shepherd, that's good. Not my preacher's shepherd, that's good. But we need to be able to say the Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that today? The Lord is my shepherd. A little girl was very sick. And she was dying. And her mother read her the 23rd Psalm several times a day as she was in the hospital. Her favorite verse was verse 1 that we've been speaking on. The Lord is my shepherd. And she would repeat it with her mother and just smile as she knew that she was sick. The Lord is my shepherd. Even though I'm sick, she had it in her heart. And she knew that she was dying. But she knew, yes, Jesus was her shepherd. And finally, she could not even speak. She came to that place. But she would point to her five fingers. The Lord is my shepherd. She didn't even speak. It's just. And so she did that many, many times as she was there lying and dying. And then the time came when this little girl really died. And she went to glory to be with her shepherd. And as her mother looked down on her little lifeless body, she noticed she had her hands folded in some way, a strange way. At least at first they looked folded. And then she took her little hands and she tried to pry them apart. And when she did, she found the finger, this one. The Lord is my shepherd. She was clinging to that fact as she even died to go to be with her shepherd. Her mother rejoiced with tears to know the joy and the peace the little girl could have as she left this world to go to be with her Lord Jesus, her great shepherd. I wonder if all of us who are present today can say that very word, that very phrase, the very phrase that is the epitome of all of the others. It introduces us to all the others. Can you say that? The Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that you've been saved and now your life is being guided by the Lord? I'd hate to be guided by just myself. But what a great blessing to have the Lord to guide us. We come to a place in this life where we just don't know what to do. The Lord is my shepherd. We sometimes don't even know which way to turn. The Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that? The Lord is my shepherd. But my second point that we want to expound for a few moments. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that word want means lack. Have you ever heard someone say with bitterness, "What has the Lord done for me lately?" The missionary statesman Hudson Taylor had complete trust in God's faithfulness, and the Lord would provide for him. He wrote in his diary, this is a missionary, "Our Heavenly Father is a very experienced one. He knows very well that his children wake up with a good appetite every morning. He sustained 3 million Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. And for us, God's work done in God's way will never lack for God's supply." Or we could put it another way. God will meet our every need. We shall not want. That's the text of this one phrase. It means that he will meet every need. I shall not want. Because my Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. He will meet my every need. And that is why every believer must have a clear understanding of that phrase. I shall not want. Think about how we like sheep. We are like sheep in many ways. Since the Lord pictures as our shepherd, the Lord is the shepherd of sheep, and that we're the sheep, you realize sheep are one of the most unwise, well, I could say stupid, and ignorant and dumb. That's sheep. And those are also proper words when it comes to speaking about sheep and us. We are stupid, dumb creatures before the Lord. Sheep will often go anywhere except in the right direction. Did you know that? They will leave a fat pasture, which is full of green grass, and wander into a barren field. And I'm not an expert on sheep, but a man named, I think, Philip Carroll, I forgot his name. He's written a book on these things, and these are what he said. Sheep will find many ways to go, but so many times they take the wrong way. Sheep wander through a forest or a field and even through all kinds of ravines. right into the wolf's jaws sometimes they go. The wolf just loves to prey upon sheep. Sheep could even ignorantly wander by the den of a wolf and never recognize that they are in danger. Sheep know how to go astray. They don't even know how to get home again after they've gone astray. And sheep, left to themselves, would not know how to pasture, would not know what pasture to feed in, or even where to retire in the winter. Sheep cannot say it, but they seem to think they are in control of all things when they're walking into the face of even wolves. And do not these little creatures we call sheep present a character of us, a picture of us, sometimes as believers? We seem something going wrong, and we cannot trust God in that situation. We have to try to take hold of things on our own, by ourselves. We turn everything into a mess instead of being a trusting people before God. Someone has said correctly that no man can trust God till he distrusts himself. No man can trust God until he distrusts himself, which means we must treat God before, and we must give him the rule over us. We can trust ourselves when we have learned to trust God, is what it is saying. It surely makes sense that we cannot say, "I shall not want," until we come honestly and say that the Lord is my shepherd. If the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I'm willing to follow him when he is my shepherd. Yes, many times we even as believers think and act like we don't know more than God. We do know more than God. We think we know more than God, and we're too vain to acknowledge the wisdom of God. Someone has said that we need to be taught in the school of God's divine grace. One lesson is that without him, we are fools. The Lord is my shepherd, and therefore I shall not want. I heard of a young man who went to college, and when he had been there a year, his father said to him, "Do you know more than you knew before you went to school?" And the boy said, "Oh, yes, Father, I know a lot. That first year, boy, I really learned some things, and I know a lot." The boy went to school the second year, and his father asked him the same, "Do you know more this year than you knew last year?" And the boy said, "I know a great deal less. I found out that I don't know much at all." And the father said, "Well, you are getting on in a good way." The boy went the third year and was asked, "What do you know now?" The boy's answer was, "I don't think I know anything." And the father said, "You're now ready to learn, since you know nothing." But sheep are not that way. They seem to think they know everything, and that is when we get in trouble. Someone has said, "I'm convinced that I know nothing as I ought to know. I must give up the steering wheel of my life, and I must let God take control of that steering wheel in my life." Sometimes we have a steering wheel in our life, and we're out going to the wrong places, doing the wrong things, saying the wrong things, living the wrong way. And that is not the way of sheep. They seem to think they know so much. And we are just like them. We think we know so much. Yes, we need to lay aside our own wisdom, and we need to cry, "Oh God, my ignorance is cast at your feet. Such as it is, I surrender to you. I am prepared to renounce my ignorance, for it has many ills and many tears of regret. I cast my ignorance on you, Lord. Lord, make me honest. I surrender my ignorance to you, Lord. From now on, I delight in your wisdom. From now on, my eyes shall be upon the Lord my God to do his will and go the way he leads me. I will not trust my wisdom. I don't want to be one of those know-it-alls of the human race. Too long have I sought my own pleasure and my own labor to do everything for my gratification and by my power. Now I would ask you, Help me, Lord. I may seek first the kingdom of God in my life and his righteousness and leave the rest to you. And may I say that when we come to that set of mind, we will be able to not only say the Lord is my shepherd, but we will be able to say, I know I shall not want. For God now rules my life, and the Lord will provide everything for me. The great shepherd will take care of me in every hour and every situation. Thus, the clear understanding we know before us, we can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But I must warn us all, it is easy to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But how do we know that is true, that I shall not want? We know we shall not want because of all the previous things the Lord Jesus did for us when he brought us back from our ways of sin. And he died for us. He did not fetch us back from the mountains of sin and haunts of evil. He did fetch us back. And he did find us wandering on the mountain of sin. And he did pick us up and carry us on his shoulders to his fold. And since he has done that for us, I cannot doubt that he's my shepherd. And here it is that we shall not further, like a good shepherd supplies all the needs. The good shepherd I shall not want. Surely we know that Christ is our provider. Surely we all have seen as his sheep, he provided for us as we lived and went through this life. We were helpless sometimes and hopeless sometimes, and we lived in this world, and we didn't know which way to turn, and we turned to the shepherd. Maybe some need to turn to the shepherd even this day. Maybe there was a time when we were sunk deep in poverty, no fault of our own, and in that hour, loved ones and friends stood aloof from us, and there was only one who could help us, the great shepherd, and he did. Maybe we can remember a time when we had been reduced to nothing. All we could do was pray. So we wrestled at the throne of God. And we sought for an answer, but it did not come immediately. And we were so far down the ladder of need, we wrestled with God for an answer. Still it did not come. In that hour, we used every effort to extricate ourselves from the darkness. And yet, still the pathway of the future was covered with darkness, and we very, very closely thought of quitting. And yet in God's time, he provided the truth of 23, the 23rd Psalm, you shall not want. He made provision in that seemingly difficult and impossible hour. I think that all of us, if we will truly know the Lord, can look back on our pilgrimage and remember that we have many, many times when we can even say today, hitherto, the Lord has helped me because he is my shepherd and I shall not want. He shall supply. Our text is truly correct. I shall not want. We have found out that again and again and again and again. And the Lord is the one who has helped us. Our text is correct. And remember, it was no earthly skill which brought things to pass in our lives, but it was only the Lord as our shepherd. The story is told of a godly man who went to a certain place, and he was going to meet his son. And they both had ridden their horses a long ways. And when the son arrived, he exclaimed, "Oh, father, I had a providence on the road today. My horse stumbled 6 times, and I was thrown off of that horse 1 time. The son's father rejoiced with his son over the providence of God that had guided him and kept his son safe. His father then said, "I have God's providence with me also." And the son eagerly asked, What was your providence, father?" And his father answered, "Why, my horse never stumbled at all." And that is just as much a providence of God as the providence of God that was watching over you. And is that not true? God's providence is positive, and God's providence can be negative. Sometimes he blesses us, and at other times he does not bless us. But by the promises of God and his purpose and his will, He moves in our lives, and we say then, I shall not want. He doesn't give us everything we want, but he gives us what we need. I shall not want. I shall not lack. I shall not lack anything that you need in your life as you live. So lift up your head this morning and be not afraid. Fear not. Your God is with you, and he will see that you lack nothing. Even if you previously lived some years without him, if you know not God now even, he will teach you many powerful lessons. And one is, the Lord is my shepherd. Just let him be your shepherd. By submitting to him as your Lord and Savior, he becomes your shepherd. And in that hour, I shall not want. He's not going to make you a millionaire, but he's going to take care of you. He is the one who turns darkness into light. He is the one that turns bitterness to sweet. Remember, he will be our constant joy, as he's promised. He shall not want. You shall not want. He knows what is best for our journey. And he has promised we shall not want as we live in this world as Christians. Live for his glory, and we shall not want. He will provide our daily needs. We shall not want. He will provide everything that we need. We shall not want. We will not lack anything. This is absolutely necessary for the Christian life, to know that he is our shepherd, and we shall not want. Spiritually, we have a bank account that will never run dry. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my provider on earth. I shall not want. That's not saying he's going to make you a millionaire, but he's going to give you what you need. We have a spiritual checkbook which never will bounce. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We have a promised inheritance in heaven which cannot change. The Lord is my shepherd. In eternity, I shall not want. Even as I live upon this earth, I shall not want, just as I shall not want in eternity. We can draw on the riches of Christ for all our needs. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Those words can be the lullaby of our life and soul while we live upon this earth. Those words, someday we will perhaps sink. But those words, as we sink into what is maybe a time of sorrow, we can remember, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Thus, whatever takes place in our life, whatever takes place as we die, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack anything. As the song says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives them away. No doubt or a fear, not sigh or a tear, can abide while we trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. But we can never prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows, for the joy he bestows, are for those who will trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at his feet, and we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey. We must recognize the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And part of that is to know that the Lord is your shepherd. You will not want. He will provide for you. He is your shepherd. He watches over you. He loves you. And you will not want. You will not lack. He will provide for you, even as you come down to the time to die. He's providing for you today. And he'll provide for you all the days of your life. And he'll even provide for you as he carries you into eternity if you know him as your shepherd. Let me pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for being our shepherd. We don't deserve your shepherding. We don't deserve your salvation that makes us one of your sheep. Thank you, Lord, we can say, if we know the shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not lack. You will provide. You will take care of us. Whatever comes into our lives is by your purpose, for your purpose, because you are the great shepherd that watches over us and guides us and leads us and loves us. Help us to know that and understand that. And may truly we rejoice that you are our shepherd and we will not lack anything as we live upon the face of this earth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for being that great shepherd. We pray in his name. Amen.
Thank you, Doc. Yeah, I remember maybe you're the same way. When I was a kid, I read those verses or heard them. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I said, why wouldn't I want him to be my shepherd? Because, you know, we didn't know King James English. And as Doc says, it means we will not lack. But what do we find today? The Lord is my shepherd. The world hears that. What do they say? I shall not want. The other way. In other words, I don't want him to be my shepherd. Now, Doc has explained to us that sheep are dumb. And I don't know anything about them either, but I've heard that from more than one person. Anyone that's had sheep apparently have spread the word that they got a bunch of dumb animals there. If they'll walk right into the mouth of a wolf or whatever, then obviously that's not the smartest creature. But there's a very stern and scary thing that's said in Romans that God does to people that don't want him. And that is that the Bible says God gave them over to their own wishes. Now, Doc has explained to us that humans want their own way. And so what the Lord does as men reject him is he says, okay, you want to walk into the mouth of the wolf? There you go. You want to walk over there where there's no pasture? There it is. No grass? You want to starve? There it is. And that's a stage where people get to. They think that God needs them, and it's the other way around. And without the Lord, we stumble and fall. And we want. By not wanting God, we want for life. And so it's God on top, and we're the ones with need. So we rejoice in him as our shepherd. That illustration Doc used about the little girl, it was 1987 in India. I heard that for the first time. It was a different sermon, but I heard that. And the Indians, I remember the Indian believers there in Kota were so excited to hear that sermon because they had heard it, I think, the year before you had preached it and you summed it up, another one in the year that followed. And I remember Sam George, and none of you know Sam George, but Doc does. Sam George was interpreting for Doc on that day. And Doc said he was going to go back to Psalm 23 and close the conference, the Bible conference this year with Psalm 23. And I thought Sam George was going to float out of there. He was so excited to hear again that psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. David, come in.